Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania. Even a casual observer should be able to recognize the direct assault on America and the values that we have held dear, the beliefs and values which have sustained our churches, our families, our people. The very foundation of our nation is under attack. Just watch a few shows on television. Check into what your child is being taught or what clubs are in the local school, and you'll see that not only are homosexuals pushing their sin into the public arena, but too many Americans are buying into the lie, as homosexual activists have effectively used the victim card in their efforts to get special legal protections passed. We've had Dr. Scott Lively on our program in the past, and he's mentioned his book, Redeeming the Rainbow, several times. Today, we're going to speak with him in more detail about that book. Thanks, Scott, for being with us today.
My pleasure.
And truthfully, this getting ready for this program was the first time I looked at the book. Wow. I should have followed your advice previously and looked at it sooner because it is full of tons of good information. And what led you to write this book? Give us some of the background on why you wrote the book.
Well, to be real frank with you, I was looking for an exit from dealing with this ministry. I've been at it for 20 years. It's a very, very difficult ministry to be involved in. You'd face nothing but harassment and hostility and character assassination.
But I thought they were tolerant people.
Yes, we all know about that, don't we?
Right. Yeah.
And among Christians, you face a tremendous amount of criticism. The church is sinking very rapidly into a sort of secularized form of Christianity that will not stand up for the truth. So I wanted to shift my focus, but at the same time, I had 20 years of front lines involvement in this. And over the course of that, I became an attorney. I ran my own a public interest law firm. I got a Ph.D. based upon, matter of fact, Redeeming the Rainbow is based on my doctoral thesis.
Mm-hmm.
I just modified it to make it reader-friendly. But I wanted to take everything that I had learned, and the Lord has really given me many unique insights and understandings about the movement, how they've accomplished what they've done, and how Christians can effectively stand up to it. So I wanted to make that available, so that's what this book is.
And
it's a textbook.
Yeah, and that was probably what surprised me the most. It is a textbook, and it's set up with lessons and where people can actually learn how to, first you give them the background and you give them the definition stuff, but then how to create a mission, or basically how to go into the mission field ministering to the homosexual. You start out the book by talking about sin. Why did you feel starting out with that three-letter word was so important?
Well, that's the essence of our position.
Yeah.
I mean, the only people left standing up against the homosexual agenda, because of the intensity of the assault, are Christians. And Christians are doing this because we're the only ones who really have a real stake in standing up for the truth of God. The rest of the world, not having an understanding of the things of God, imagine that the trend of secular society, even if they might not like it, is, well, that's just the way things are. But we know that when you turn away from the truth of God, you're going to face very harmful consequences.
Mm-hmm.
And because the wages of sin is death.
Absolutely.
And it isn't just for an individual, it's collectively for society.
Mm-hmm.
You have to address the issue of sin. And the fact is that many of the people who have been sort of anesthetized in the church, or even won over to the pro-gay position, have been won over because there's been an attack on the idea that homosexuality even is a sin.
Right, because homosexuals have so effectively used the argument, we're born this way, we can't help ourselves, God made us this way, which, and God loves us, which, yes, God loves the sinner, but he expects that sinner to turn away from their sin, no matter what the sin is.
Right. Now, my church here in Springfield, Massachusetts, my wife and I came here this is what we did. This is going to be the new ministry that we are going into. And if anybody knows my story, it wasn't effective for me to leave. I'm actually back up to my nostrils, back in the homosexual fight.
Mm-hmm.
So my intention of sort of writing my magnum opus and then moving on, God had other plans.
Yeah.
But We came here to Massachusetts to start an inner city mission in order to try to show by positive example how biblical living can re-Christianize a post-Christian society. And in other words, with a purely positive and proactive approach, not talking about homosexuality, accomplish the same end result. We are now here in the inner city, Springfield, Massachusetts. We bought a home, an abandoned house in one of the worst neighborhoods. We bought a building in a very strategic location on the main street through the city, and we established Holy Grounds Coffee House, which is our church. And our church is a welcoming and transforming congregation. That's how we present it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way that the church should be taking this issue on.
Absolutely.
We shouldn't be shunning people who have a homosexual identity. We should be welcoming them in, just like we welcome every other sinner.
Every sinner, absolutely.
But we should not go along with what the left does, the Christian left, that essentially condones everything and says that sin doesn't matter anymore. You know, they have what they call welcoming and affirming, right? What they're doing, they're affirming people in their sin. We're welcoming and transforming. Mm-hmm. We welcome everyone to join us in the process of being made into an image like Christ.
Right, and that's exactly what is expected of all Christians. It's to carry the gospel truth to the sinner. And, I mean, one of the last things Jesus said before his ascension was to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And we're expected to do that. We're expected to go to the sinner to welcome the sinner, but not to back away from the truth. I found it interesting several years ago, the Human Rights Campaign, which they claim to be the largest homosexual lobby in the nation, specifically started a faith effort to get into the churches, to have them change their teachings into accepting the lie that Christians can be homosexual, that God made us this way, we can't help ourselves. And unfortunately, HRC has been very successful in getting into the churches. And it's not just HRC, there's other homosexual activists too, but I know they had a concerted effort to get into the churches, and that effort continues today to get churches to turn away from biblical teachings and change their whole philosophy on that.
Well, that's chapter 3 of the book, is the infiltration of, it's titled, The Homosexual War Against the American Church. And that's exactly what they have done. And they deliberately infiltrated the churches. And now it's so disturbing to see, like in a small community, when there's still places where they're fighting over whether they're going to allow an anti-discrimination policy based on sexual orientation.
It's still happening in Pennsylvania on the municipal level, on the local level.
People need to understand, and anyone who's listening to this and is sort of wondering about, you know, why this battle is important, I actually helped the Moldovan pro-family movement stop their government from doing that. And it boils down to this, that an anti-discrimination policy based on sexual orientation is the seed that contains the entire homosexual agenda. You know, if you let that seed get planted, it will grow into the tree that produces all the poisonous fruit of the homosexual agenda. Gay pride parades, adoption of children, the promotion of homosexuality in the schools, every single aspect of the homosexual agenda is contained in that seed called anti-discrimination policy.
And what we found interesting here is that, and most of this is happening in the Philadelphia area, the municipalities down in southeastern PA. But we've also found where schools have already established gay-straight alliances, and kids from that club are testifying at these public meetings, advocating for the passage of these ordinances, the sexual orientation, gender identity.
That's the thing that triggered that thought within me, is that when those meetings, when those contests are happening in these local communities, there are often, or actually usually, more so-called clergy in support of the homosexual agenda than there are Bible-believing pastors.
Oh, yes, we
churches
found
just simply,
that.
They've just given up. So we have this terrible presentation of the false gospel. It's heresy.
Mm-hmm.
Gay theology is literal heresy, and it's the heresy of our time. And here you have people that are embracing it and promoting it as if it's legitimate doctrine, and they're not even being opposed. You know, the book of Jude, it talks about, you know, Jude is speaking to the church saying, contend earnestly for the faith.
Mm-hmm.
Contend earnestly. It's really a command of Scripture. Jude is just simply reiterating what the Great Commission actually means. And yet, where are the men of God
that
are contending earnestly for the faith in society? They've capitulated.
Mm-hmm.
They've allowed the enemies of God to take all of the seats of power, to run all the universities, the government positions,
mm-hmm.
and to change all the rules in order to further undermine the influence of the church, and they remain completely silent.
Yeah.
In the face of that, it's shameful.
It absolutely is, and we also have found what you're saying, that the majority of clergy who come and testify about these ordinances are in favor of the passage of these ordinances. We've got a core group down in southeastern PA who are working against these ordinances, and one told me after one of the meetings earlier this year that he sat beside a pastor, and he was pleased that finally pastors were waking up to come and testify at these meetings. Unfortunately, when the pastor got up to testify, he was in favor of it. So he was totally blown away. And I said, unfortunately, that's what we're seeing, is pastors from these.
I remember as a babe in Christ being in Portland, Oregon. I had just been saved, and I had a zeal for the things of God, and I was standing up for the unborn.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a parade. Portland has a very well-known big parade that happens every year, and it's going out passing around pro-life literature. And these people were out there with these Baptist. You know, they're from a Baptist church, you know, wearing sweatshirts with Baptist on it. And I attempted to give them flyers, and they were hostile and rejected it. I was absolutely floored.
Pro-life flyers.
Yeah, pro-life flyers. And so I actually, I mean, this is how naive I was at the time. I actually went up the street and found the church that they were from to go in and to complain to the pastor about what his people were doing, and was, you know, literally just shocked when the pastor was standing up for the killing of unborn babies.
Wow.
And that was back in, that was had to have been in like 87 or something, 88.
And you were just a babe in Christ at that time.
Yeah, I got saved in 1986. I was an alcoholic and a drug addict for 16 years.
Wow.
I used to live on the streets and sleep under bridges and beg for money on the corners.
Mm-hmm.
I got really far down. And so when I got saved, I surrendered my life to Christ.
Wow.
And I was completely transformed.
Mm-hmm.
And he began, you know, he turned this guy that used to stumble out from behind, you know, abandoned buildings with bloodshot eyes and vomit on my clothes. And he took that guy. And I've ministered the gospel in almost 40 countries now. I've lectured in universities all through Eastern Europe and the former Soviet Union, and consulted with government officials. And, you know, God uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise.
It's amazing what the Lord can do when you surrender to Him. But just put another babe in Christ in that same situation you were. May not have been quite as fervent as you, as sold out to the Lord. And he or she had encountered the same situation where he thinks that the church should support life, should support the unborn, and he finds this Baptist church, including the pastor, who doesn't. Just think how some could be turned back to where they would just give up on the church.
Well, and that's true.
Yeah.
And the wheat and the tares, you know. But, you know, the fact is that greater is he that is in us than he who's in the world.
Absolutely.
And we know that, especially as the end, I believe we're in the end times, as these days unfold, the darkness is going to get darker, and there's going to be, the gray area is shrinking. People have to take a stand on one side or the other, with the sheep or with the goats, and that's what a lot of this is about. And the majority of people are not going to align with Christ. Even the people that are sitting in the pews, they're not going to align with Christ. They're out of fear of man, out of what their neighbors think, out of being called an extremist or a homophobe. They're going to actually turn from sound doctrine, and they're going to embrace fables that are comfortable for them.
Right.
You know, it's all predicted.
Mm-hmm.
It's all laid out in the scripture.
It absolutely is.
And we see it happening right before our eyes.
Yeah, yeah. And too many in the pew are wanting to be comfortable, and they don't want to be called those names. And they just think it's okay to just sit in the pew and go to church on Sunday and maybe Sunday night and Wednesday night. But the Lord expects more from us than that. And
well, Diane, you know, we also know that this homosexual issue is absolutely central to the end times sort of breakdown.
Mm-hmm.
This is the issue of our time.
Oh, yeah.
This is the issue where you find Christians being unwilling to side with Christ, unwilling to side with His Word, and instead will capitulate to the thinking of the world. They don't want to be identified with radicals like me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't want to be identified with sort of the harshness of the Bible.
Of the truth.
Of the truth.
Yeah.
And so they will align themselves instead with the more reasonable-sounding, humanistic and humanitarian-sounding position that other people are taking that is a direct, it is in direct rebellion against what God has said.
Yeah. But I think what you said, well, go ahead, finish your
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, what you said previously, where the church, where Christians have allowed the secular humanist or the atheist to take over the positions of power, whether it be the university professor or in the political arena, by allowing that, we have completely opened the door to what we see happening right now. And until we are willing, and you know this better than anybody, until we're willing to be called those names and willing to take back those positions of power, things are going to get worse and worse. And as I said, you know that better than anyone else. And,
You know, that we're told, we're warned, advised by the Lord that in the times that we're in, there's going to be a lot of trouble and that we're going to be persecuted. You know, anyone who desires to live godly in Christ Jesus will be prosecuted. That's a prophetic message. It wasn't true in the 1950s in America. You wouldn't be, if you stood up for the truth of the gospel, you weren't persecuted. But it is true of the end time scenario, and that's what's happening now. People who stand up for the truth of the gospel are being persecuted. You know the incident that we faced there in Arlington Heights, there outside of Chicago.
Right, yeah, we had Peter on talking about that attack when you came to speak there at their banquet.
That's really just the beginning of all these things. But, you know, it even says in the Gospel of John chapter 16 that there will be a time when they will even kill you and think that they're doing God a service.
Mm-hmm.
How upside down the mentality becomes for
right.
people. It says in Romans 1 that they suppress the truth in unrighteousness, and because of that, their foolish minds become darkened, and that the end process of that is what's called the reprobate mind.
Mm-hmm.
So anyone who is sort of turning away from the biblical truth and believing something else, some alternative to what God has said, is suppressing the truth in unrighteousness, and then they reap the consequences of that, so that they end up in a place where they're thinking that they're actually even serving God when they are
or killing or whatever of us
right.
who really stand for the truth. Your book is fantastic. I mean, I'm going to just go through a couple of these. You have a chapter on the pro-family argument in non-religious terms. You have another one on gay speak. We could spend a whole 25 minutes on that. But an organizational model for pro-family activism and how to do that. This is a fantastic book. How can people get this?
Well, here's the good news, because this is absolutely free. I wrote this book, I published this book in order to serve the pro-family movement. I'd love to have people make donations, but the primary goal of this is to put the tools into people's hands, the knowledge into people's hands, to be able to stand up effectively for this agenda. So if you go to my website, defendthefamily.com, very easy to remember, defendthefamily.com, you can just click on the image of Redeeming the Rainbow, the book cover, on the right side of the page, and it takes you to a page where you can download the book. And there's one version, two of the versions have graphics in them. The third one has no graphics, and it's small enough to actually be forwarded to people as an email attachment. Mm-hmm. So you can take it. I want people to do this. Just take it, send it to all of your pro-family friends and church members and neighbors so that this information gets out.
Right.
This is 20 years of research and work by me. I've been dedicated to this, and God's giving me unique insights into this that I've shared in this book, and it's written in an easy-to-understand, very concise. There's no fluff in this. It isn't, most books you get about the homosexual issue, it's just horror stories to sort of ratchet up your emotions. This is not like that. This is practical explanation, where this movement came from, exact details of how they've accomplished what they've done, and, how to understand the rhetoric and to dismantle it, to sort of unpack it, and be able to effectively counter it in arguments and discussions.
And I encourage folks to get that. It's a 237-page PDF file, but it is an easy download. I have it on my flash drive. I encourage folks to do that. At the beginning of the program, you talked about you and your wife went to Springfield to minister and to be. You bought a house. You started a church. You have the coffee house there, which is your church. And you welcome all sinners there. But yet, what happened?
Right.
what happened on November 18th, because they know Scott Lively's in town. Did the homosexual activists just let you minister as you wanted to, or what happened on the 18th of November?
Well, the Occupy Springfield marched up the hill and came and protested outside of our building, you know, beating on drums and doing their chanting that they do. It's really the only time in, I believe, in the whole country where the movement shifted away from economic issues to social issues.
Mm-hmm.
And in response, the Tea Party, which is also having this struggle about whether or not to embrace the social issues or not, they came out to our rescue. And we actually had twice as many people on our side as the other.
Well, that's always good.
As the gays did.
That's always good. Yeah, actually, I saw the video. I know Mass Resistance, Brian Kamiker was there with their video cameras, and I watched the video Brian has up on their website.
Oh, he did a great job on his website. Just really great,
Yeah,
great job.
So I encourage folks to go to massresistance.com and check out that video that Brian Kamiker and his folks took on the 18th, because it was really, really encouraging.
Yeah, he's got photos and a lot of explanation text there. He also has they actually took out a fairly big newspaper ad attacking me in the Sunday paper, the local paper, and then they followed it up with this about a week and a half later. Ever since the first of the year, January 5th, which was actually the third anniversary of our arrival here, we got off the train January 5th, 2008 with just our suitcases.
Wow.
But January 5th this year, I got hit in a front page hit piece in the Boston Globe. You know, Boston Globe. Significant newspaper, yeah. And this was a front page story, and it was not tied to any news.
They love you, Scott.
It was totally gratuitous, you know, hit piece, character assassination.
Mm-hmm.
And then the local newspaper followed up with a couple stories after that, which I believe the whole thing was coordinated. I believe they thought they could drive us out.
Yeah.
As a result of that. And we did lose quite a bit of local support. A lot of Christians went running for the hills.
Oh, wow. Well, that's what happens, because, as we've said, they don't want to take the flack. They don't want to be called names.
That's all right. Most all of them came back.
The
amount of support that we got, I mean, people just coming in, you know, we'd never even met before, saying, I just want you to know that you're in our prayers and we support you 100%.
Good.
And now we're stronger than ever. I think that clearly Romans 8:28 is always true.
Mm-hmm.
God does make all things work together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purposes. And we've proved that, or he's proved that to us over and over again. This year, you know, the ministry is probably two or three times as strong as it would have been, or stronger than it would have been.
Yeah, we were praying for us over there, because I sent out an alert. When I got that from you, I sent it out, created a alert and sent that out. And I got an email from someone in Ohio. He was traveling, and he said, well, I can't make it to Massachusetts, but I'll be praying. So there were folks all over the country praying for you, and we really appreciate. And it just, like, as you're saying, it's neat how the Lord has taken something that the other side intended to be bad. And, you know, they intended it to be bad.
Yeah, that's what he does.
Yeah, he turned it around and made it good. And that is fantastic.
Completely sovereign.
Yeah.
Totally sovereign.
Yep. And
there's nothing that the enemy can do.
Absolutely. So how can folks contact you if they wanted to get in touch?
Well, once again, just go through the website. You can reach me by email. That's the best way. DefendTheFamily.com. And also, the Defend the Family website is a resource center. We have thousands and thousands of stories on the homosexual issue in about 20 different categories that's searchable. That you can basically, if you have to write a term paper or something on this issue, we've got it all there. It's a single issue site, so you don't have to worry about wading through a million other things. And plus, it's got all of my books and articles I've written over the years are all there, and everything is for free. If you can make a donation, please do, because we survive on donations, but take it and use it.
Well, appreciate all the work that you've done over the years, and all the flack that you've taken, but especially appreciate the fact that you've remained strong under the attacks. With the Lord's help, you have remained steadfast, and we really appreciate
that. Thank you, Diane. It's a blessing to stand for the Lord. I wouldn't trade my life for anything. You know, as much as I've suffered persecution, the blessing so outweighs it. It's not even comparable. And we haven't even gotten to the millennial kingdom yet, let alone heaven. You know?
Right, absolutely. Hey, Scott, appreciate it, and you take care.
God bless.
Okay, God bless you too.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in defending traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA at Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, 16323, or visit their website at afafpa.org. The views expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect the views of American Family Radio, Lighthouse Ministries of Franklin, AFA, and AFAFPA.